The Bumblebee reboot, oral not fic.
It's a reboot, not a prequel.
Recorded at Pothic Winter Chill Fest 2019 by Rena Jenkins.
And Schmaler.
Enjoy.
So this is happening because they have confirmed that the Bumblebee movie, the Transformers Bumblebee movie that came out in December.
Not the Bee movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
Not that one. I tried to explain Bumblebee to someone before they knew that it wasn't the Bee movie with Jerry Seinfeld, and they were very confused by what was happening. Bumblebee, Transformers Bumblebee, which came out in December, and it was kind of weird because it was a prequel, but like some of the things didn't match up, like it wouldn't make sense.
It
like,
didn't match the didn't history match of the universe that they'd already established with Shia LaBeouf.
In 2007. But it doesn't matter because the film was amazing and so who cares about Shia LaBeouf. And they have now just confirmed today that the movie is a reboot, not a prequel. So we are going places with this. It's very exciting.
We have talked a little bit in the past about what the sort of Shia LaBeouf movie, when we thought this was a prequel and not a reboot, about what the Shia LaBeouf movies would have looked like if Charlie were still involved with Bee, and sort of like Charlie being a mentor and being like, Sam Witwicky, you're about to do a dumbass thing. Let me show you how me and my Camaro kick ass. And it's going to be great. And you know, like all of the Sam Witwicky movies and the Megan Fox movies with Shia LaBeouf and what's his name?
Which I have seen the first one many times and the second one once probably, and that's it. So that's my...
I have not seen any, and we're also not counting the ones with the robot dinosaurs and Mark Wahlberg.
Pardon?
Because they did sequels to the Shia LaBeouf ones when they couldn't get Shia LaBeouf or Megan Fox anymore, so they got Mark Wahlberg, and part of it was the Autobots are... They're dinosaur transformers? They turn from robot dinosaurs to cars? Not robot people shape.
If you ever thought that, maybe these movies are just being used to sell toys and are not actually because we want to make good movies, right there. Confirmed.
We are also disregarding the part where they landed on the moon.
The dinosaurs?
The dinosaur robots landed on the moon first.
Oh yeah, was that the dark side of the moon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's so stupid. Ignoring all of that,
we are going to retell and AU how Charlie and B, and also what's his name with the hair?
Oh, Memo.
Yes.
Memo, who is great, who's a great character, who I ignore sometimes because obviously Charlie and B forever, and Memo is like sort of the love interest, but he is great and he should be like best friend and amazing and people should talk about him more.
Yes.
But just not to date Charlie because she's dating her car.
It's gonna be so beautiful. So the movie leaves off with Charlie sort of standing on this overlook watching as Bee drives away, and Bee
with Optimus. Like it's implied to be Optimus because
right.
It's like red truck.
Another thing. Truck. Bee has just given himself an upgrade from sort of vintage Camaro to sexy new 90s Camaro.
Oh, from the bug, not from an old Camaro.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, from the bug to a Camaro.
Yeah.
And Charlie is looking on longingly and piningly.
Right. And it is implied that they are not going to see each other again. But that's wrong, because they are, and we are going to make this happen right
now. It's
going
to be great. The other thing that was just, like, the dumbest shit that it... The guy who supposedly works for an intelligence agency that is actively trying to defend against a foreign power insinuating themselves into the National Intelligence Agency, giving keys to that to literal alien powers?
Yeah. Are you talking the scientist guy or the
scientist
guy?
His boss.
Yeah.
The entire department
right.
Being like, we should give all of our national secrets to not only someone that we don't know, but also someone that we don't know and we don't know how, like, what their capabilities are.
Right. It's a really uncomfortable sentence to be like, the only person in this military government organization that has any sense is John Cena. That's a horrible sentence to have to say out loud. But John Cena was the only one of those guys who had any goddamn common sense.
I almost want to make it so that, like, John Cena has to fight the internet. Because the Autobots, the Decepticons invent the internet while they're trying to spy on Bee and Optimus.
Oh, one of the best lines of the movie, though, is John Cena being like, we're going to trust them. They're literally called Decepticons. And I'm like, yes, thank you someone for saying this. I like that they just went for it.
Yes, like we are pointing out that there is in fact a problem here.
Although, Angela Bassett Decepticon, A+, love her.
Yes, yes. She was in fact terrifying and awe-inspiring in the,
yes,
the way that a good military commander of evil armies should be.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So we know that the Decepticons are going to be coming back to Earth because they have lost contact with their lead army lady and her second in command.
I don't remember what they're called.
One is red and one is blue.
Yes.
We know that the Decepticons knew that something happened on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what, but they've lost communication. So suffice it to say that eventually we are going to have a problem with the Decepticons coming back.
Yes.
The Autobots don't really know shit.
Yeah, but they're on their way to Earth.
So we have two different factions that are basically coming to lay a smackdown on our planet. But we don't know when they're coming, and there's not much we can do about it in the meantime. So we should just have adventures or Charlie goes to college.
And brings her car with her.
Yes, yes.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, she's not going to college in, like, a really packed city. She has one where there is space for her to park her car, like, on or nearby campus.
Okay.
There is space for the car. The car is coming. It's not where freshmen can't have cars on campus.
Okay. Is it, like, at Northeastern where you have to buy a parking spot for in the garage?
I don't know. And I'm trying to figure out what level of detail this is important for.
Well, I'm just thinking, Bee's not going to want to sit outside all day while birds shit on him.
Oh, okay, you're asking for indoors versus outdoors.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes,
and that was
obviously
just, like, the first university I thought of, where you could buy, like, street parking, or you could buy garage parking.
Oh.
And I feel
fancy.
Like if she's going to leave Bee outside,
yeah, no,
in,
she doesn't do that.
You know, and then also if Bee's parked in a garage, eventually we can have a really shadowy showdown where, like,
ooh,
you're not sure who's on what level, and there's, like, things rustling in the shadows, and it's a Decepticon who's hiding as, like, a janky little, like, a Volvo. There's a Decepticon disguised as a Volvo, okay? It's the worst Volvo you've ever seen.
No. A terrible, terrible station wagon.
A station wagon with paneling. There's a Decepticon with fake wood paneling.
And the kind that are old, where, like, the back seat faces the rear, and there are no seat belts, and,
okay,
like, one of those.
Because the Decepticons clearly don't care about humans.
Well, yes, obviously. This is clear.
Yes. So, Charlie...
Somehow John Cena's trapped in the back seat of that station wagon.
Charlie's parents didn't want her to go away to school because after the incident that shall just be referred to as "you are so grounded, Missy," they get a little bit overprotective. And there's also, like, a surprising camaraderie between Charlie and her little brother because,
yeah,
like, the family has sort of, like, you know what, these aren't friends, but then her brother stands up for her and he,
yeah,
you know, lies to them for her and he's,
I mean,
in on the,
like,
secret and
the
everything.
The whole, like,
family
point
building.
Of the movie of how, like,
but, like,
know,
they
he...
maintain it. It,
yeah,
would be really easy,
yeah,
for Charlie to be like, I have a secret now, and I can't trust you with it, and I'm gonna pull away.
Yeah. Well, have you heard the official song recorded by Haley Seinfeld?
Is it I Touch When I Think About You, I Touch Myself?
No. So, you know how for movies, when they record songs that are, like, for the movies, they also sort of record them in a generalized way where they could just sort of be, like,
radio
to play
single
on the radio as well.
Okay.
And this one is called Back to Life, and... it's talking about how, like, you know, presence of the you that the song is being addressed to, a.k.a. Bumblebee, but, you know, it's
right,
a song that could be played on the radio, so it's nonspecific and not implied to be a robot in the song. It's like, you know, that he brings her back to life and she has brought him back to life and, like, together. And so that's, you know, he got her out of the depression she
right
was in.
And the diving,
you know,
and
she, like, you know, restores him and teaches him about Earth and brings him back to life. But also you should know that the first line of the song is something about our love transcending through space and time.
Yes.
So I'm just throwing that out there, canonically in love.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I like this a lot.
I forget why I was bringing that up. Oh, because you were talking about her family.
Yeah.
And them growing together. I'm like, yeah, because Bee brought her back to life.
Yeah. And she opens up with her mom and she doesn't actually throw that Learn How to Smile book at her stepdad's head.
She should, though. That book is still terrible.
No. I feel like there's a moment where Bee in the new Camaro doesn't have a tape deck anymore. And they have to... like, they bonded over all of her dad's...
Well, but what year is it? It would still have a tape deck.
I just want him to be like the shiny new car.
Okay, there is no
like the shiniest of new cars.
Oh wait, but
no, I think I'm skipping like 30 years of Camaro history. Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can say like later.
Yeah,
later
eventually then. He has satellite radio.
Okay,
that's what I'm going with.
Okay,
here.
All right. So we're skipping past college. We're skipping past.
Eventually, in his life, they have satellite radio, and it's like she thinks they're gonna lose something because they're not like communicating via her dad's cassette tapes.
Yeah.
But like then they get a subscription to like Sirius XFM or something, and it's like even better.
Yeah, it opens up a new world of sounds.
A whole new like. Level of vocabulary for B, and it's good.
I like it.
So back to college. She's on campus. She is hesitant to bring B, because on the one hand, obviously she doesn't want to leave him at home, but he's still not quite subtle.
Not at all.
She has probably a bunch of, like, hilarious moments where it's like she's parked and then he follows her and she's parked and he follows her, like as she's walking towards campus and the car keeps moving even though there's no one in it.
That's really cute. But I also like the idea of like, so she parks him somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like she goes to class, she does things, and he just, you know, he transforms and he explores and he's going around by himself, and then he comes back and like either the spot he was in is full now, or like he just forgets where he was. I forget where I put my car. Well, I forget where I was when I was a car. And so he doesn't put himself back in the same place. And so, you know, let's assume she makes some friends. Because
mm-hmm.
she's more well-adjusted now because he brought her back to life. So her friends are all like, how do you constantly not know where you parked your goddamn car?
So she gets a reputation as being, like, really scatterbrained, and it's because he keeps moving?
Right. She keeps losing her car.
That's great. That's beautiful. I think that's fantastic. I want there to be like, maybe there's a freshman event when they first, like beginning of the semester, right? It's an event to do like freshman class, get to know your fellow classmates, get to know your student union, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it is a movie showing on the side of one of the campus buildings. So she's sitting in the car, and it's like a date.
Style.
It's like driving style, and it's like a date, except she's not sitting next to him. She's sitting in him.
The potential for dirty jokes is high.
Yup. There's a deep connection there.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if that type of car has a... if it's a convertible, but it is now. Like, he makes it. He's like, oh... I want to be able to see, like, in the open air. I love that. Convertible.
Gotta put
the
top down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super cute. And then there's probably something where, like, she leaves one of her notebooks in his trunk, and he has to, like, get her the notebook, but he has to sneak in as a person because you can't drive on the lawn. Because that's a noticeable. Tire tracks are noticeable. Giant footprints are just a freshman prank. Just a frat prank. Tire tracks are noticeable, so he has to
I'm trying to think, like, he's going to be seen all the time. Like, she has to go to a school that has a reputation for partying, so everyone can just be like, they're all drunk. Because I can't think of another reason why everyone would be like, ah, yes.
Or, do we want to make this a crossover? Where she's at she's at MIT at the same time Tony is building Dummy, and he's just angry that her robot is so much better. And he's spite building an arm with the attitude, and she's got her robot.
She cannot afford to park that car on campus. It's expensive to park there.
I mostly just want Tony to be angry that his robots aren't good enough.
I feel like everyone would just assume that it's Tony's robot then, and she'd be, like, so pissed.
Oh!
She'd be so upset.
That Stark bastard taking credit for my boy.
Her boy.
Oh. How do you hide a giant, yellow, sentient robot?
Poorly.
How do you solve a problem named Bumblebee?
I don't know. Like, I feel like, is it more noticeable, is it more or less noticeable to either be somewhere that's, like, more remote so it's like there's more space to spread out and like hide things, or is it better to be like close in a city where there's just a bunch of weird shit all the time? Like there's a lot more people, but I feel like there's a lot more propensity for like people being like, not my problem.
I think if she's at a smaller school, you know, like a further out school, it's going to be a smaller population, which means people will talk more to each other.
Oh, but what if it's, like, one of those really giant state schools that, like, there's not actually anything else around, there's only a city there because it's the school? Like,
okay.
So isn't, like, she's in California. University of, like, Michigan or something in the middle of nowhere?
But okay.
I mean, I don't want to send her to Michigan, but... Oh, you know what to work? Purdue is in the middle of nowhere, and they do a lot of engineering stuff, because that was going to be my other question of what she's majoring in. I feel like with the car, tinkering stuff.
Right.
You got the, like... Something hands-on.
She's gonna do,
They do automotive I think they have an aerospace engineering. No.
Aerospace engineering would be perfect, because she knows the rest of his people are out there.
Oh, I like that.
And she's not gonna tell, like, you know, her advisor or her admissions guy that the reason I want to go into space is to fight robots. She just wants to be like, I think there's, you know.
The aerospace engineers aren't the ones going into space. If you want to go into space, you go into the military.
She's not going to say anything about, like, you know, what'll happen when we get there.
Okay.
You know? Okay. But deep down inside, she's like, well, if you just knew what's waiting for us.
Yeah, we need to, like, be prepared. We need to study.
Yeah.
We need to be ready to build some more spaceships.
And there's probably stuff that's like... What is the metallic equivalent of, like, a doctor, you know? There's probably stuff that just from living on Earth for a long enough time that B, you know, needs a checkup on. She needs something to... And a regular auto body shop isn't going to have quite the caliber of parts needed to fix that.
I feel like that then goes into the other question of, like, I feel like a conflict that could be happening could be, like, her mom and her stepdad wanting to be like, you need to, like... study, like, go to college and get, like, this degree, and she's like, but I... So, like, when you get an engineering degree, it's not like you're spending all of your time, like, actually tinkering stuff.
You do a lot of
a lot of math and a lot of coursework. Yeah, it's... Like, fluid dynamics.
Oh, and she's doing this before AutoCAD. Oh, so she has to do it all by hand.
Right, so, that, like, I feel
Sorry, Charlie.
Her family's pushing her towards that, where she's like, no, I want to do, like, more of, like, a practical apprenticeship kind of thing, and, like, I feel like that's... Or you can hit that sort of traditional college conflict of, like, go to school versus go to, like, apprenticeship for, you know.
Right, and one of them has more prestige and, like, you know, eventually you're hired by somebody who has a government contract. And one of them is like, well, you're just a glorified mechanic.
Right.
Is what her, like,
what her family is.
Right, not that she's not good at what she does or that it's not important, but, like, that's what her family is saying. Yeah. If you're already doing this, why not go for the best
version? That's a very traditional film tropey thing.
Yeah. Someone's going to say that you're just a glorified mechanic, and but she's going to be like, you know, pivotal moment, B is injured, look at my socket wrench. Save the day. Does she try to rebuild his vocal cords? To give it back to him. And then, like, eventually he has to be like, I appreciate it, but at the same time, that's not what I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's one part of canon that you do want to keep. Like, he never...
He doesn't talk.
He never gets it back. He only talks through the radio. And that's, like, that feels like a defining trait of canon, I say, as someone who actually does not know that much about canon. But, like, I feel like that feels like one of the very defined things. And this is something I don't feel the need to, like, fix. Like, I'm trying to think of...
It's not like
you're saying she would want to fix it, and then what would that
be thinking about? Right. It's not just that she never tries. Maybe it's that we don't have the laryngeal equivalent of, you know, transplant, blah, blah, blah. It does make it even more poignant that, like, every time he's talking to her, he's basically making her own custom mixtape.
My heart. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's great.
Just bust out with that kind of shit.
Right?
It's gonna 11 p.m. and I'm emotionally compromised.
So the thing is, though, once... The other thing that we have to think about is she is on Sector 7's radar.
Yes.
For having been involved. Yes. And when she...
But, like, John Cena, the only person with sense, is trying to protect her.
Right.
Which is an awful sentence that I hate that I said out loud.
But there's a record that she exists.
Yeah.
And there's a record that, what's his name, exists? I keep wanting to call him Newt, and I know that's not his name.
For some reason, I keep wanting to call him Memo. But it's Memo.
Yeah.
I think because in my head, like, Memo is like, you take a memo.
Right.
So my brain thinks it's like, oh, what's something that's not a noun? Memo. But no, Memo.
Like, they do exist in a government database somewhere. They're prints, and even if it's all, like, you know, redacted, they were involved in something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're something, that, like, that's going to catch back up to her.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Possibly after she's ready to, you know, graduate and get a job with a firm that has government contracts. Come up when they're running her clearance?
Well, yeah, are they going to run... If it's just sort of, like, generalized background check, they won't catch it. But if it's something where, like, you need, like, a government clearance, then yeah.
Eventually, the fact that she exists on Sector 7's radar is going to come up either because the Decepticons come back or because Sector 7 tries to recruit her. They think, you've been out of our clutches for a while, and we are looking for people who don't freak out when the weird happens.
Yeah.
Or else, you've been out of our clutches for a while, and we have budget cuts coming. We need to bring in the big prize, which is your robot. Which is your boyfriend.
Yeah, don't take your boyfriend.
Leave your boyfriend alone.
Leave
he is sent to
be. Alone.
So there's a conflict, and I don't know if that's going to be, like, who's the biggest problem here? Is it, like, living in the everyday and trying to have a relationship with someone that you can only see when you're on the highway, basically? Or is it, like, this sketchy-ass government agent at the turn of, like, the mid-90s and, like, you know, the internet has just started... Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's a Google now.
Oh, God.
People can find me.
Yeah.
Like,
and people will be like, look at this weird robot I saw because I took a video of it.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. That's a lot more of a concern, though. People finding out.
Yeah. After, because, like, by the time she's gotten through college and her, like...
And Memo has to have gone to the same college because otherwise it'd be very lonesome to, like...
It's like fighting a mountain troll. Afterwards, you have to be friends.
Yes. But also just in terms of, like, thinking about, like, not wanting her to be totally isolated.
Right.
While at college.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want her to have friends. You want B to, like, be able to be himself around. But you need to have a greater social circle. Otherwise, the relationship gets weird. And they have a beautiful and healthy relationship.
They're good beautiful. People. Autobots? Optimus Prime probably gives B the equivalent of, like, really? That one? Because she's fleshy. And he thinks his friend could do better.
Yeah, and, like, just doesn't understand.
Yeah.
The humans.
Yeah. Humans are weird. They can't even change out their parts. It takes them time. Like, they have to grow new ones. They can't just swap out their parts for, like, you know, repairs. And Optimus Prime is probably like, you know, aren't you worried you'll squash her? Optimus Prime is 18 feet tall and he's a tractor trailer. He is worried about the tiny human getting squished.
But then you gotta go into... Sorry. I'll just put your brain on track of, like, okay, all right, robot-human porn logistics. Let's think.
B has moving parts, heated seats, massaging seats. Also, the capability of... We've seen him move parts in ways that cars don't usually go.
Right, exactly.
Like, if you need penetration, B can provide.
Yeah, I mean, the one pornific that's currently up on AO3 is very, very stick shift heavy.
I feel like it's the other way around, because she doesn't know what are, like, the pleasure receptors for something who doesn't technically have nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So how does she do that?
Yeah. I feel like for most things, they always go to sort of, like, electrical spark kind of thing. That's where, like, a variety of robot-human relationships fits, because that is where I live. I have multiple fandoms where this is a thing. Robot human sex. All right. I feel like electrical sparking and like electrical contact is usually that's a place where things go a lot. I wonder if we could come up with something different.
Something a little new and...
Yeah, because, like, that is a good place to go. But what else could it be instead?
Is it, like, when she's got her hands in his engine? Aside from the literal, you rev my engine. Like, the fact that... maybe that's intimate for Autobots.
Mm-hmm.
Letting someone else change your parts. Or, like, touch your insides in a way that... you can't quite control. And it's giving that, like, I trust you. I'm giving that connection to you. I'm putting myself literally in your hands. Maybe there's something there with, like, cultural norms that she's not aware of. Which makes, like, their beginning interactions a little bit like, damn, girl.
You really went for it.
Take him for a wax? Like, take it to
A new trailer that came out for, like, a trailer to talk about the release of the Blu-ray DVD, and one of the things that was in that trailer that I don't think was in any of the, like, theatrical release trailers is just, like, a scene of her, like, washing and waxing the car, and I'm like, depending on where your brain is at, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Gives wax play a whole new meaning.
Oh. Oh, no. Okay, so yes, I agree. Hands and engine, very intimate.
Okay.
But, like...
what if she gives him Nas? It's like catnip for cars.
Aphrodisiac. Nas is an aphrodisiac. Oh, man. I don't know what if her cars is the problem. Like, I don't know what, like, would hit, like what's kind of, like, a point of, like, oh, you've hit, like, some sort of peak performance thing, some sort of, like, tipping point kind of, I don't know enough about cars. Because, like, I know you know, you rev the car, but, like, if you rev the car too much, then it's, like, bad for it.
It's bad for it.
Right, so you don't want that.
Everything I know about cars I learned from Fast and the Furious.
I mean, that's probably more than I know about cars, so hey.
It's very specific, and it mostly means a lot of neon undercarriage.
Okay, but what kind of lingo does she trick him out with?
Oh, she gets be spinning fucking chrome wheels! Oh, it's beautiful! She takes advice from Pimp My Ride.
Oh my god.
Style advice from Pimp My Ride.
Right, and like, he can just kind of change in general, so he can try out different things and like, amazing. And then at some point in time, she has to be like, B, you can't change every day or every week. My friends are noticing and they know that I can't change my car over that quickly. They're beginning to get suspicious. You can only have one new feature a month or something like that.
My friends are wondering where I'm getting the money for all these mods.
Oh. How do you afford these mods?
I want them to go on a romantic date where they crash somebody's street racing scene. Yes. It's like Tokyo Drift, but like...
another movie I have not seen.
We don't talk about Tokyo Drift.
That's what I thought. That's the things I know about Fast and the Furious are
we don't talk about
found families, and we don't talk about Tokyo Drift.
No. Or like one of the rumbles in like Fast 8, where it's a bunch of really sexy people and they're getting all over their cars and nobody's wearing like, you know, pants. They're wearing like short shorts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because I don't want it to be like, this is all one-sided, but from an inorganic point of view, it's whatever you're putting into the engine. Mm-hmm. Is she putting additives in his gas tank? And is she giving him Nas? Like maybe there's, you know, this is the chemical sort of interaction way that we can, like, bring about euphoria or something. I think the electric thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
What?
She gets a beeper. It's like having a vibrator on remote. Whenever she beeps, he feels better. That's right.
I didn't even have a response to this.
We're going to make this happen, okay? We're going to come up with the best way that B can also be reciprocated.
All right. Huh. Let's think.
Because I feel like it'd be really easy to be like, okay, we're driving fast. We're driving, like, recklessly. And then it's just like, you know, somebody, like, okay, well, you have him the next quarter mile. Wow. And he has to make her come by then. And then that's a kinkman prompt.
That's a good one. But I'm trying to think in terms of, like, yeah. Well, so we've been talking about it very much from the perspective of, like, when he's in car mode, like, her mm-hmm. hands in her engine and, like, mm-hmm. Hands in his engine and, like, the additives to the engine. Right. Stuff. What about when he's, like, robotic form? No longer in disguise.
Well,
robots in disguise.
He doesn't have a dick, but he does have big fingers.
Well, no, I'm not even talking in that direction. That's also true. But I'm talking about, like, when
I'm sorry.
We're going to make you be feel good here.
All right.
But yes, he does the fingers are, again. Like, let's talk about articulated joints and how things, if they're going to bend, they have little gears and they have, like, interaction right. points where if they are not inside you, they could catch...
Yeah.
On skin no. in ways that are bad.
We've seen the way they animate it, particularly, it does look like things grind against each other, panels yeah. overlap. There's like. Yeah.
I don't know, like at first brush, I'm like, yes, robot human fingering, sure, great. And then you think about it and you're like, no.
No mm-hmm. glove, no love.
Sure, yes. If he's wearing a glove, it's fine, sure. But I'm just saying. Gotta think about these
yes,
things.
Yes, no, there's, it's easy to be like, well, here's the obvious, like, you yeah. know, human analog shape. Here's yeah. what works.
But no, like, something's gonna catch, and it's gonna be real uncomfortable.
It's gonna be very uncomfortable. It's gonna be pinch.
Okay, so how can she make him feel good when he is being hominoid form?
I feel like it's, again, kind of... His receptors are still the same, whatever shape he is, right? Yeah. It's like, yeah. it's just, now he's 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
And really hard to hide in her, you know, third floor walk-up student housing apartment. So, like.
That's when he's hiding in the cornfields of Purdue in.
Okay.
Iowa or Illinois? Oh, shit, I should know this. Iowa. They're the Boilermakers. I don't know what their, like, mascot is, but that's, like, what they
Isn't
are.
Isn't a Boilermaker when you put vodka in beer?
Could be. I just know that they're the Purdue Boilermakers.
I have to look up what a Boilermaker is.
I think it is also a booze, but I don't know which kind. Purdue's in Indiana, not Illinois or Iowa, which were the two choices that I proposed, both of which were wrong.
Yeah. It is a glass of beer and a shot of whiskey.
Like, whiskey, like, dropped into the beer? Like,
the beer is either served as a chaser or mixed with the whiskey.
Okay.
Yes.
Not mixed, but like a bomb, right?
At least that's yeah, like, yeah.
Okay. Because, like, if you just, like, pour the whiskey delicately into then the beer and drink it, anything. That's horrible. It's already horrible, but that makes it worse.
Yeah.
Or you could just have some nice whiskey and also have a beer and not at the same time. A suggestion.
He can't really take her out to bars.
He can't.
Can't really dance with her. They have to find new things to do together.
They do. Well, so, I mean, I feel like that's when you get into, like, all of, well, I don't know when, like, how long did drive-in movies stay a thing for? How right. long was, like, you know.
I mean, I saw Batman with George Clooney with the bat nipples at a drive-in. But that was, like, the last thing that I ever saw at a drive-in, and I was really young.
Oh, and we're, like, drive-in restaurants aren't really a thing anymore, but Sonics are, and there's definitely Sonics in the Midwest.
Oh, okay, all right.
The only dates they go on together are to Sonic.
Yes. Yes. And then eventually they probably have, like, one of them feels guilty because, like, are you still with me because... You're the only one who knows my secret.
That's sad.
Right?
I mean, so like, the answer is no, but...
Right, they have to have a conversation, but first, like, one or both of them is both, are, like, operating, like, doubting themselves and doubting their relationship, and they have, like, a moment where, like, Optimus Prime does not help because he's kind of a dick about it. Like, well, you shouldn't be dating a flesh bag anyway.
Yeah, Optimus Prime, he's a dick.
You know? He's like, well, we've got a war coming... I need you in fighting shape. You can't be distracted by a fleshy human. ugh. Like, and then...
Fuck you, Optimus Prime.
Maybe Memo's not trying to cause problems, but he just says something in passing about, like, you know, we've got a reunion, or we've got a, like, a plus one. Like, he probably just says something that, like, he's not trying to cause problems, but it makes her second guess B's place.
But I don't want Memo to be, like, the bad guy at all, because I feel like people will...
Mm.
I say people as if this fandom is more than, like, 25 people, but I feel like what would sometimes happen with a character like Memo is people would, like, use him...
Just, like, break up the ship and then.
Right.
And, yes. Like, as the villain of the ship.
Right, exactly, and I don't want that.
So maybe it's not even Memo. She's talking to Memo about something that her boss said. They have they have an event where you have to bring your plus one.
Ah.
And she's like, well, I can't bring B.
Yeah.
So I guess, so, come with me and be my, like, you know, my friend, and you understand, like, who my, you know, significant other is and all of that, but, like, it makes her start thinking, like, what future do we have together? Is he only with me because I'm the only one who knows?
Mm.
And B is like, is she only with me because, like, I don't
have... The sense of responsibility.
Right. You know, I met her first and she thinks I'm still that broken down bug.
But she brought him back to life.
Well, yes, eventually it's going to be like, here's the Christmas party at the office and she leaves early and he's in the parking lot and they sit and have a conversation, possibly brought to you by the album Millennium by the Backstreet Boys. Because depending on what time period we are, that is the album.
It's a period piece.
It's a period piece. Like, something really deep, but, like, it is underscored by the fact that he's using super cheesy late 90s music to do
it.
I
love that.
And they have to have a conversation. And, of course, their deep conversation gets crashed by whoever our villain is, if we decide it's the Decepticons or if we decide it's Sector 7. And then they have to hide it from, like, the rest of her office, that they are, in fact, having a boss battle in the parking lot.
I love that.
And Memo is being like, yeah, she went to powder her nose. That way. And then, like, some...
Memo's entire role for the battle. He doesn't do, like, any of the... He doesn't even see any of the Decepticons or the Sector 7 or whatever. He's nowhere near that. His entire role during the fight is just distraction mechanism for everyone else in the office.
Yes, at one point he probably grabs the mic by the DJ and he's like, I really want to thank the CEO, Mr. Blah, 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 for putting out such a great spread. I feel like such a part of the family. And the guy's like, I've never met you. No, it's great! And he's doing, like, you know, keeping your eyes on me. And he's doing basically everything that, like, Parker does when the,
sleight of hand.
Yes.
Oh. It can't be too much, though, that hits my second hand embarrassments quick.
No, he's just keeping the eyes on this side. And he's it's not like he's getting... He's not, like... debasing himself or something like that.
Oh,
yeah. You know, he's being a great bro. And it's kind of been that, like, if he were to go outside and try to fight the Decepticons, it would end up exactly like he just missed the fight.
Right. Yeah. Just like in the movie where he shows up at the end. He's like, I'm ready. I'm here to help. And then everything is already over.
Already done.
Already over. But what kind of scene at the end of the battle can rival the dramatic underwater face-touching?
Oh, my God.
Of the movie.
He doesn't need to breathe. You're not going to give him life breathing.
She did.
He doesn't need to breathe.
She need the...
No.
It's Chris Snow.
Oh.
I like it. It's just
his eyes. He got punched and the light in his eyes go out and we see a fucking dramatic Snow and he's not blinking it off his face. And so she has to brush it off and then she has to be like, no, don't leave me. And then you slowly see his eyes light up again.
Rena. My everything hurts. Snow is such a good... Especially because, like, it wouldn't... It just, like, wouldn't work that way. Like, her, like, shaking him around, that is not what is going to make him light up again. But just like in the movie, dramatic underwater face-touching... That shouldn't have done anything, but obviously it did because of the power of love.
Yes, it made him remember that he had something to fight for.
Yes, she brought him back to life. All right, for the outro of this, if this gets posted, it's just gonna be the song.
just put the whole song behind
it. That's great. That's great. The only problem is that you keep saying you bring me to life, but I keep thinking, you know what happened in 2001? Evanescence? Late 90s?
It's back to life. It's a different song.
Bring me to life.
It's a different song. It's a different song.
Wake me up inside.
Okay, all right, so snow. All snow right. happens.
Snow, she drama, sadness. Wakes him up. It's like, we've got people who are actively trying to kill us, but I have to pause for a moment to brush it delicately off of your brow.
Oh, man.
It's great.
Oh, man.
It's great. So we're going to leave. The problem is that because nobody ever told the Decepticons to stop coming here, they just know that their commander stopped and then didn't answer the telegram or whatever. So
telegram sent across all of space.
The Decepticons, we need to give them a reason to not come back. Basically.
Okay, so they can't all be dead.
Right.
Like, one of them, at some point in time, another Decepticon has to send a message that's like, nope, don't come here.
Right. And not in a way that's going to make them want to keep
just, like, dying or, like, disappearing on Earth, right. All of the other Decepticons are going to be like, something's weird.
Yeah. And, we can't just keep Megatron on ice under the Hoover Dam because
it's a reboot, not a prequel. And that never happened.
And also, that's fucking suspicious. If your big boss doesn't answer.
I think it's Parks and Rec. Don't be suspicious.
Yes.
Don't be suspicious.
Their own funeral.
But yes, it's very suspicious to have a giant Decepticon in the Hoover Dam. But that didn't happen.
So I think what...
I'm just very excited about this reboot news.
What's going to have to happen is that, despite the fact that Optimus Prime has been kind of poo-pooing this relationship the entire time, he's like, ah, shit, the only reason that they're going to leave this planet alone and save the people on it is if we give them a reason to look somewhere else. So he's going to be bait. And, like,
Optimus is good for something.
He's
self-sacrifice.
He's going to go someplace else and lead the Decepticon who's tracking, like, the last living survivor of the big boss battle.
Yeah.
He's going to be bait and go someplace else, and that one will follow him. Yeah. And then that will lead the rest of the Decepticons to, like, I don't know, Mustafar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can come back later if he just, like, really needs his chili cheese fries or whatever. But in the meantime, that gives Bee and Charlie, like, some breathing room. And the rest of the planet as well.
Yeah.
And at this point, John Cena has risen in the ranks.
As he does.
And he's like, clearly, using alien tech that we got from these are the aliens trying to kill us against the aliens trying to kill us isn't working because it's the same stuff they're using to try and kill us and they already know how to counter it. What else can we do?
Yeah.
Maybe we should hire you as a consultant instead of chasing you across the Midwest.
Hey! So you don't have to sneak through the corn.
And then she has to...
And, like, that's when you also get... It's her and B as a team as consultants. Because I feel like what can happen sometimes is because B can't speak and it's all through the radio.
Right.
It makes him seem like he's not
smart.
as smart or just, like...
Not a person.
Right. Whereas that would definitely bring in the, like, no, he just can't speak normally, but he is...
Well, the thing is, like, he doesn't have to use music lyrics.
Right, he can use words as well.
So he can use talk radio.
Right.
And...
They communicate because music is the language of love, but in other manners he can just use talk radio.
Right. So maybe he uses, like, a couple different talk radio, like, we're saying this is late 90s? Or this is mid-90s.
Okay, well...
I know I said Backstreet Boys Millennium.
What part of the 80s was the movie?
87.
87?
87.
So then finishes high school, does...
89 finishes high school. College is 92.
But, like, let's add some years because we assume she gets a master's degree.
Right.
Because, like, she's doing all that fancy shit.
And she's a woman in a man's field at this point. She needs to make herself shiny.
So, like, late 90s.
Late 90s. Okay.
In terms of, like, time for her to be working for a bit and, like, you know, doing... engineering stuff.
Is he gonna use clips from, like, the Clinton impeachment to be like... I'm trying to think what would be on the radio at that point.
It doesn't matter. He's just using little tiny chunks. It doesn't need to be recognizable.
Okay. Because they do tend to be like, here's a clip, you know?
Yeah.
In the movie. But no, he can, in fact, because he's got, like, the juiced up radio, he can basically do, like, talk radio full sentences.
Yeah.
And maybe whoever he's dealing with on the Sector 7 side is expecting him not to be able to communicate.
Oh.
Because the records that they have were like,
right,
this thing knew how to blow shit up, but it didn't talk.
Right.
And they're not expecting him to... That's the
initial interaction.
Right.
Which fueled John Cena's rage and need for revenge.
Dun, dun, dun. No, so I just want, like, there to be a really flabbergasted, like, HR person. And then B being, like,
like super imagine, eloquent. Like, a super, like, not... You know, when you think of all, like, the secret government organizations and movies, like, they come in, it's this giant warehouse hangar, and you're like, welcome to Secret Sector 7 or whatever. But right, instead, what happens is, like, the shot just, like, opens in, like, a normal, like... corporate office, and it's an like a tiny little HR person sitting behind their desk, and like B is scrunched up as much as he can, but he's taking up
the
entire ceiling, and the HR person's just sort of like typing, like, I don't know how to process you in.
I just cannot fingerprint you.
Crunched as far as possible behind their desk, just looking extremely tiny, and it's just like corporate office with the terrible fluorescent lighting and the file cabinet.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And you get that instead of the, like, government technology warehouse.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I think they make excellent undercover agents. Like, John Cena would have to work to sell like, that to them, but, like...
Sorry, I thought you were saying John Cena is an undercover agent. My brain went, yes, he'll pretend to be a wrestler. But no, he's not the one going undercover. I still just can't get over the fact that it's fucking John Cena. I struggle.
Hey, if The Rock could do it, John Cena can do it too.
He's good. Like, he's not bad, but my brain hurts. Yes, Charlie and B cannot, no, they would not make B undercover unless do any, like, people do, like, shady things in parking lots and he can just be parked nearby. I don't know what that, like, that seems like very undercover cop and not undercover, like, government agent. So the thought from outside the room is, what if, in terms of undercover things, B is just in car form in a parking lot and there's some weapon smuggling things happening and they're smuggling and transferring things in these, like, car lots or whatever, and then bam, out of nowhere, he transforms into hominoid form. And just, like...
He thought you saw the last of me.
Bam, you're being arrested, and by arrested, I mean held...
Squashed
down by a giant 12-foot robot.
That's great. Well, I was thinking in terms of, like, well, he can shapeshift his silhouette, and they can change his plates, mm-hmm, and he's, you know, an autonomous car.
Yeah.
So that seems useful.
Yeah.
But, like, you almost don't need Charlie for that.
That well, sucks. Charlie and Memo undercover...
Oh, that's going to end badly.
Never mind. Memo doesn't feel like he doesn't have any capability plot of being, I mean, yes, it would be nice if we were to more plot here, but I mean, such as this has a plot. No, I mean, I feel like he does not do subterfuge. I feel like Memo cannot.
No.
Cannot subterfuge.
Memo is the, what's the name for the person, like, that... If they're going after a con man or something, right? Mm-hmm. The person that the con man thinks they're taking advantage of.
The mark?
Right. But Memo is in on it, so he's, like, reeling them in.
Oh, the, bait's not the right word, but the,
Like, they use his, like, inability to lie for them to make it seem like he's not.
Okay. I don't know what that's called, but I know what you mean.
Right? Something like that. He only says things that he knows he's not lying about.
Yes, and they deploy him for very specific circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yet somehow they just keep being all these goddamn robots in disguise. Like, where were they? How did they get here? Why do they keep popping up in the cornfields? Like, I don't know. I don't know if they're, like, more Autobots who came looking for Optimus Prime after he went to be bait in another direction? Or, like, because you only keep a giant robot and his girlfriend on retainer to fight other giant robot-sized threats.
Well, I feel like, I mean, so we've been talking about how, like, Charlie makes some friends at college because we need to make sure she has a broader social circle.
Right.
Some of the Autobots are going to stay because, like, this is Bee's home now, and, like, part of their home has been destroyed, and, like, we'll make a home here with Bee. Like, there need to be more Autobots
He's
around.
He's not the only bot.
Right.
Okay.
Because just in terms of, like, healthy socialization. Like, it's important.
Stockholm Syndrome for days. What are you talking about?
Healthy socialization. There have to be other Autobots.
Okay.
Either that or, like, lots more humans that know about him, which I feel like is, like, a no-go. Mm. So more Autobots.
Okay.
So I feel like it could be something where, like, John Cena knows that Bee is good, and John Cena can kind of therefore infer that the other ones are okay, too. But,
okay.
like, he doesn't really know and can't really vouch for them. And even though he's pretty high up, he's not, like, high up enough
to
be like,
okay.
Yeah, it's fine. There are 6 giant robots that can disguise themselves, and we don't know really what they're going to do next, but it's fine. Like, he can't quite pull that off.
Okay.
So, like, I feel like that's where you could get...
Be as their liaison?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. A liaison.
They have some sort of, like... robot commune in the mountains or something, and B is the person who does, like, their interacting with the humans to make sure that, like, rando hikers don't walk in on the robots and spill it to the internet. Is it Bigfoot or is it a robot on YouTube? I just thought of a great AU of this AU, where... while Charlie is going to college and trying to learn, like, how to best help Bee, and they start doing, like, racing stuff on dates, she slowly falls into, like, the criminal underworld and ends up being like, I've got this advanced tech that's in my boy. He's going to teach me how to make stuff like it with the Earth equivalent, and then basically takes over, like, the criminal underground, and by the time the Decepticons come, she's a crime boss.
Okay, wait, I like that better. Hold
and
on.
Then Sector 7 is chasing them because she is using alien tech in her in her communication stuff, and they haven't been able to crack it, so they can't crack, like, is she, you know, running drugs? Is she, like, do people owe her favors and she's doing money laundering? Is she running a racket? They can't really check what Charlie's, they know she's dirty.
Yeah.
And that she's at the heart of everything, but they don't know what she's doing because they can't crack their communications.
Mm-hmm.
So, at this point, Sector 7 is like, nobody's taking us seriously when we ask for budget money to hunt alien robots, but when we ask for money to hunt, like, you know, criminals, like, mafia shit, they sort of redirect us towards a certain branch of the FBI, but then we do get money. Then we get budget.
Yeah.
And so, like, that becomes the thing. Sector 7's not chasing them because he's a giant robot. They're chasing them because she's a crime boss.
A crime boss and using, like, unknown technology,
right.
Which is how you work in the Sector 7
right.
aspect
and that's
of
where,
it.
Yeah.
And
that's
why
it's
doesn't
them
just go,
and
like,
not
FBI.
FBI.
Yeah.
But, like, it starts off with the best of intentions. She's trying to find a way to help Bee. She's looking for, like...
Oh, we go back to, like, trying to fix his voice.
Right. Right. So while they're on the car and they're doing, like, you know, illegal street racing and stuff like that, which gets her talking
some money
to...
and, like, talking to the gearheads.
Yes. About, like, you know, parts and mods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who are doing shops and running, like, sort of the sketchier side of things. And so she gets her hands in that because she wants to find, like... Eventually, Bee is going to tell her, you know, I appreciate your efforts, but this is who I am now. I don't need fixing, and I already know you love me for who I am. And it's great. It's great. But in the meantime...
I'm gonna cry a little.
She starts getting in on, like, everybody's network, and she does work, good work. And then she starts being able to, like, you know, prove herself as someone who can always get to the end point.
Yeah.
Like, freakishly good luck. She's always able to dodge the police scanners they can never find. Because
Bee is doing the driving. Like,
yes.
She doesn't have to... Yeah.
And, like, when there's a blowout for, like, you know, XYZ model car, Bee shifts his silhouette.
Yeah.
It might still be yellow, but it's the wrong kind of car, so the cops are like, okay, whatever.
Right.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So she gets this reputation as someone who can always get the package delivered. And then from there, like, she starts getting other runners who want to do stuff. And maybe B teaches her, like, it's not the same kind of shifting, but, like, something that's just enough to make the cars, like, not show up on, like, radar or something.
Yeah.
It shows a, like, you know, maybe from his
some
camo.
Kind of paint.
Yeah, is. from his camo, like, warrior suit type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's XY chemical in the paint that makes it come across as, like, doesn't quite register.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, like, anti-radar technology works on airplanes and stuff. It's, like, special, like, coatings and coverings and paints and stuff, which you can't, like, afford as a normal human and you wouldn't put on cars. But, like,
right.
if there's some sort of, like, you got some alien hookup stuff,
right.
then you could put it on normal cars.
Uh-huh. And that gives her gang that little bit of an edge over the other street gangs, which means that, like,
they're bringing in the money that, like, she works her way
and she's
to the
like
top.
She's probably like a little bit, you know, I never really saw myself running drugs or running guns, but at the same time, like, we get this super thrill out of it, and
yeah.
that means I can put a little bit extra in B's tank so that he has a good time tonight, too. Like, she's
going
super into
the
it.
Noxes.
She's super into it. So then...
Being a drug runner, it really improves my sex life.
Look, they say coke is good for a lot of things, okay? Speed. You're so good at this.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am. So, like, they slowly get more and more, like, closer and closer to the top. And then something happens. There's a shakeup because someone threatened B. Usually it's someone threatens Charlie and B lays the smackdown.
Right.
But in this case...
Somebody knows what B is.
Yeah.
And threatens B. Or, like, ooh, maybe has, like, video or something and is gonna, like, give it to Sector 7, like, has enough connections to, like...
No, you know what it is? It's whoever the local boss is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're the boss of the local, but they're not, like, the highest
yeah.
level boss, but...
Wait,
they're
within, like, a separate organization or within Charlie's organization?
The
like,
person
is it someone
she's been
undermining her, or...
It's the person she's been reporting
okay,
to.
The other way.
Is, like, you know what, I'm gonna turn state's evidence so I don't get punished by giving them you. And he's going to give it not just to the FBI, but to Sector 7 so they know where she is.
Oh.
It'll be very much, if I flip you over,
keep
yeah.
her in your place, mm-hmm. yeah.
And he's threatening her with, like, well, if I give you up, I'm okay. FBI leaves me alone. And it's basically like what they do on CSI all the time, where, like, you know, the one guy keeps flipping a bunch of minor guys, so that, and then the cops leave him in place to keep flipping the
mm-hmm.
minor guys. So she kills him.
We're going that far. We're going.
Well, like, so, maybe she didn't intend to. Maybe she intended to originally,
okay.
like, threaten.
I wasn't sure.
Things.
I wasn't sure if we were gonna go like full like crime AU or if we were gonna do like and then like memo pulls her back from the edge kind of thing.
I think we're gonna go full crime.
We're going
AU.
Full crime.
We're
All
going
right, she's
full
into
crime
it.
AU. Because at
into
this
the
point,
murder.
Like, she has to go certain. Eventually, she's gonna go so far to protect B that she can't go back.
Oh,
you know
that hits
and
me
at,
in good ways.
And at this point, like, she didn't. She didn't mean to. But deed is done, and now somebody has to step into that vacant spot.
So what I'm hearing is that we are making Transformers unwholesome in multiple ways. We are making it unwholesome by making it porn, and then by also turning it into, like, murder crime bosses. Transformers is now problematique.
We bring the good shit.
Only problematic Transformers here.
We bring the good shit. Like cocaine.
Drugs. Murder. Porn.
Additives.
This Notfic has everything.
And bees!
And bees! Do you have more thoughts, or is that a good place to end it?
Crime boss AU, Charlie. Fighting Sector 7, fuck off Optimus Prime. Orgasms for everyone, the end.
Bees. Enough.
transcending us through space and time. It's holding up, it keeps you and me intertwined. What's a pipe dream if you ain't trying to do it? What's a heartbreak if you ain't crying? I'll do it. What's a sunset if you ain't riding into it? Let's drive into it. Cause I'm bringing you back to life. Yeah, I know that you're gone, but I swear that you're here. It's a feeling that won't disappear. And you're bringing me back to life. I was looking for something that I couldn't find. It's a feeling you give me inside.
Good night.
A trick. I'm gonna say our names. No.
Bumblebee just like crawling through a cornfield trying not to get caught.
There's something in the corn and I don't know what it is. I had a thought.
Yes.
B and Charlie. Soulmate AU. With the goose, because they never actually say anything, and then they end up driving through a field, and then B is chased by a Canada goose. An angry Canada goose who keeps crapping on him! The important part of having feelings is getting rid of them so that other people have feelings, and then they create things.
They create things, and then like, have like, more feelings.
It's like herpes.
An excellent start to this.
I can see you in the night, coming through like flashing lights, when the world is passing by. Oh, oh, oh. I can see you in the night, coming through like flashing lights, when the world is passing by. Oh, oh, oh. Cause I'm bringing you back to life. Yeah, I know that you're gone, but I swear that you're here. It's a feeling that won't disappear. And you're bringing me back to life. I was looking for something that I couldn't find. It's a feeling you give me inside. Cause I'm bringing you back. Cause I'm bringing you back. Cause I'm bringing you back to life. Cause I'm bringing you back to life. And you're bringing me back.